This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome into Hour 2, ladies and gentlemen, of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is indeed the noon hours. You know, you can grab your lunch every day. Join us. But that means it's lunchtime. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show here on The Ticket is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue, with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, try their burnt end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab. I always pause right there, like involuntarily, because I just like, it's delicious food. All right, plus incredible sides. All right, get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Real quick note, a week from today, we will be doing our first remote at Mulberry's Barbecue next Friday, 1 week from today, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at their south location. Hour 2 of this fine program is also brought to you by our good friends and sponsored by our good friends at Suizo Construction, where safety is not just a policy, ladies and gentlemen, it is a promise. Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concert workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back on and off the job site. Apply today at suizo.com. That's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W.com. 40 years strong in business, Suizo Construction. All right, Jake, before we dive into the atmosphere at Memorial Stadium compared to SEC schools, and before we dive into what we think the defense will look like this year, can I give you just some friendly advice? Just friendly advice.
Yeah.
If you ever have an affair, don't get caught on the kiss cam.
That's right. I've been seeing that going around.
Dude, how could you not see it? I think if you open your eyes, you see that picture in some sort of meme or something with it. It's crazy.
Yeah. And just a reminder to everybody, because I know there's kind of the blowback of that is they shouldn't be showing me, you know, this is my personal life, all that. When you, that little, I have read all this stuff and you don't read it, you just go through and click through when you buy tickets. That's what they're talking about. You're selling your name, image, and likeness or whatever for that period of time when you're going into the sporting event.
So you're telling me that every fan should be getting NIL. Is that what you're telling me? Or to actually read what you're signing, one or the other?
Every fan might, but yeah, just read what you sign or don't complain when you're caught on kiss cam with not your wife.
Here's the other thing. They sold it so terribly. I mean, my goodness, just if they'd have just hung out, of course, they had the natural reaction. If you don't know what we're talking about, I'm not going to explain it. Just open up an app somewhere. You'll see the picture. Okay. Like, sell it a little bit. And I know the instant reaction is to freak out, which is what they did. Either don't do it or sell it, or don't do what you did, because that's why you're trending and going viral right now every freaking where.
Cheating's not good. Affairs aren't good. But what do you think about kiss cam?
Yeah, to be clear, affairs are not good. Not condoning that. Kiss cams are phenomenal unless you're sitting next to your sister, because I've seen that a couple of times. I saw one dude hold up a sign, my sister. He came prepared with an arrow. I was like, that dude is smart. Other than that, kiss cams are great.
Yeah, they're always, I mean, they're kind of meant to be awkward at times. I mean, there's always someone on a first date or people that aren't even necessarily, you know, at that level. And then there's, you know, the couples that will freely do it. But
they're two of my favorite I've ever seen. There's one guy. And I was like, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or what. He tried to kiss her, so it must have been. But she, like, bluntly rejected him. So I'm like, maybe, you know, they're kind of, like, in a situation where they're dating, but they haven't gotten there yet or whatever. A girl, like, sitting next to him, taps him on the shoulder and kisses him. And the other girl who rejected him got mad and walked away. I'm like, so apparently they were in a relationship, and she didn't like that, even though she shut him down. That was one. Another one was, in the caption was, I think she created a supervillain. And so I watch it, and it's the kiss cam, and the guy's sitting next to this girl, and she will not kiss him. She refuses to kiss him. The guy behind taps her on the shoulder. She looks up at him, kisses him. Some dude she doesn't know in any way, shape, or form kisses him, and then goes back to watching the game, and they kind of zoom the camera in on the poor initial dude who got rejected or shunned, however you want to put it, And you could just see the look in his face. Like, that's a super villain in the making. I felt bad for the guy, but it was like the perfect headline to get me to watch the video. And it was so accurate. I felt bad for the dude. All right, Jake, anything from the text line, anything in general before we dive into what we think Nebraska's defense may look like this fall?
Yeah, just looking through, it looks like Bada Bing says, I used to live in Georgia. That stadium, even when they were rated in the top 10, were not even close to being ranked where Nebraska played Michigan in 2021, compared to that game. So now imagine if Nebraska was rated in the top 25 and that stadium would have been even crazier.
That's a great point, because the Michigan game, again, you know, we talk about the Michigan game, the Miami game, the Colorado game. Imagine if these are ranked matchups or highly ranked teams. Those atmospheres are insane to begin with. Like, I can tell people all the time, like, every fan base is like, oh, we're the best fan base, this and that. And that's great to believe. But where's the proof, facts, and evidence? The proof, facts, and evidence is a sellout streak, and you can say whatever you want about that. But here's what I'll tell you. It doesn't matter if we're playing Alabama or Timbuktu U. That thing is going to be sold out, and the stadium's going to be rocking. Definitely a kickoff. All right? So you can't say that everywhere else, because we were talking about you brought up LSU. I brought up the Swamp. And your response was, well, Florida's not good. The Swamp ain't rocking. I was like, that's a great point. They rely on winning. And obviously, football teams want to win, and fans want to cheer for winning football teams. But they rely on winning for the place to be rocking. Memorial Stadium is always rocking. Especially, like, there's been games where maybe at the end it wasn't, and hopefully those outcomes change. But when at kickoff, it is rocking. It does not matter if it's Timbuktu, Alabama, Michigan, Colorado, or whoever. So to me, we were supposed to save this for segment two, but we'll dive into it now. It was just mentioned by someone out there that the atmosphere at Memorial Stadium could probably never match that of an SEC stadium. And then that individual mentioned that they'd never been to an SEC stadium. Now, you asked me, Adam, have you ever played in an SEC stadium? Technically, yes, because I played at A&M, I played at Oklahoma, and I played at Texas, and those schools are now in the SEC. So I don't know if that qualifies as an SEC stadium because they were Big 12 at the time. How would you qualify that?
Yeah, that's tough. Missouri as well.
Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just kind of goes to further to arguing the point that there are unique stadiums in big atmospheres outside of the SEC footprint to include, at one time, Oklahoma and Texas A&M especially, and Texas. So, I mean, I think they include, but again, that kind of goes back again to on the argument is you can't just blanket statement these 16, and unless it's true, these 16 stadium atmospheres, this entire conference is different than at or better than the atmosphere in Lincoln.
I mean, that's an interesting point because I went straight to two of the top most rowdy stadiums. Neyland Stadium in Tennessee would be another one. But what about Mississippi State, with all due respect? What about some of these others? Vanderbilt? Really? I mean, unless you're beating Alabama for the first time in a bajillion years and the first time you've ever beaten a number one team at home, outside of that, you're telling me. So I have to, when I heard him say it, or when I was sent the thing, I'm sorry, I had to imagine he was talking about the top end SEC stadiums. Because if you're just saying the whole conference, that's just a ridiculous statement in general. But I don't know that the A&M, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri atmosphere is that much different now that they're in the SEC. Maybe it is. I don't know. What I can tell you is I played there. I've obviously played a Memorial Stadium. I can compare them to NFL stadiums, okay? Well, real quick, I've shared this before, but it's been a while. So I'll share it again here. My senior year, we played at A&M. Big 12 North title on the line. All right, Zach Taylor ends up throwing up the pass at the end to come back to Mo Purify. We end up winning the Big 12 North, going to play Oklahoma at Arrowhead in pretty much the freaking coldest game I've ever been involved in my life for that Big 12 championship game. Something happened in that A&M game that had never happened before and has never happened since. The first drive we're on the field, and they had a good offensive line. They really had nothing to do with it. I think they started with the ball. We're on the field. I don't even remember what happened in the drive. I come off, and I'm sitting there. Well, I'm standing there, and I'm just kind of like looking around like normal, and I just happen to look up in the stands, and I forget what they do. It's some sort of something they do in the stands, and I got really dizzy. Like, really dizzy, and had to sit down. Even sitting down, if I looked up, I would about throw up. It was weird. Like, they weave back and forth or whatever it is they do in the stands there at A&M. It's kind of unique to them. But the movement that they were doing throughout the entire stadium made me nauseous. So for the rest of the game, If I wasn't playing, if I was in, I could look at the players in front of me because I'm not looking at the stands and I'm focused on what's going on in front of me. If I was out, I had to stare at the ground or I was legit going to lose my pregame meal.
Wow.
It was an interesting thing. And A&M was absolutely one of the best atmospheres I was ever in. Probably even a better atmosphere than I would say Texas or Oklahoma. Out of those four schools that we mentioned that are now in the SEC, Missouri is definitely fourth. No disrespect there. I would put A&M one, probably Oklahoma. It's a toss up between Texas and Oklahoma, but Missouri fourth out of those four. But that was such a unique thing at the A&M game. I couldn't look up. I remember one time my D-line coach was like, Adam, look at me. I'm like, I can't. Like, I'm staring at the ground. I'm like, just put the whiteboard down here. Like, draw on the whiteboard. Talk. Put it down here and talk to me.
Jeez. Were any of your other teammates having any problem, you know?
I've never heard anybody else talk about it.
Because I know what you're talking about. They all kind of get together and wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was something I ate. I don't know if I was extra amped because I wanted to go to the Big 12 title game, play Oklahoma. I don't know what. Maybe it had nothing to do with any of that. Maybe. I don't know. So that was interesting. What I can speak on, I can speak on those atmospheres. Obviously, I can speak on the Memorial Stadium atmosphere, and I can speak on NFL atmospheres. Here's what I'll tell you. When you talk about SEC atmospheres, it's obvious, like, football's like a religion in the South. I understand that.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
But you think about Memorial Stadium specifically. It doesn't matter who we play. It's rocking at the beginning of a game. It's always going to be sold out. You set a world record with Nebraska playing UNO in volleyball. UNO's gained a little bit more notoriety over the past year to 2 years since then, but not a ton at the point and not their volleyball program as of yet. They're building. Where else can you do that? I pointed this out on this program before. Iowa has the single biggest attraction, in my opinion, absolutely in women's basketball, maybe in all of basketball. And Caitlin Clark held a basketball game in their football stadium and did awesome with 61,000 people. That didn't even touch 92,003, which is a world all-time record, by the way. So these are facts and stats that I don't know that can be backed up anywhere else. And I will tell you the atmosphere. I've never been in a louder stadium in my life. That includes A&M. That includes Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri. That includes NFL stadiums. I played in a majority of the NFL stadiums. The loudest, Seattle Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs, Washington Redskins. I would actually rank them in that exact order. Seattle, Kansas City, Washington. And I'll never forget my first year with the Rams. First or second year, we went and played at D.C., so I hadn't even played for Washington yet. And our D coordinator pulls us aside. He said, it's going to be loud. They're the only NFL team that has a marching band or a fight song and a band that plays. Not a marching band, but a fight song and a band that plays the fight song. Only team out of 32. It's a unique culture out there in D.C. They are passionate. I would say Seattle. I would say Kansas City as well. None of them were ever louder than Memorial Stadium. None were louder. None had a more intense atmosphere. I can tell you from firsthand experience, and the loudest I've ever heard Memorial Stadium be, my senior year, we're playing Iowa State. We go into overtime. And I've shared this before, but it all comes together when we're discussing this. Because maybe SEC stadiums are louder. Maybe A&M is louder now that it's in the SEC. Maybe Texas is louder now that it's in the SEC. Maybe the Swamp and LSU is unlike anything I've ever seen. Maybe. My senior year, we play Iowa State, we go into overtime. There is a particular play, because I knew the signals, I would watch our D coordinator signal it in. Our Mike linebacker would always then say it again in the huddle. And so you had multiple opportunities to get the play. Whatever happened the previous play, it prohibited me from being ready to watch the signal come in from the sideline. In the huddle, you got to keep in mind, the defensive line are in front of the huddle and the Mike linebacker is right next to you. Almost like my head is about right here as the Mike linebacker is right there. Like, he's right next to me saying the play. Can't hear the play. Mm. It's so loud, I can't hear it. Break the huddle. Lakeven Smith is right next to me, defensive tackle. Like, no farther than this water bottle. I'm like, what's the play? He tries to tell it to me. He tries to yell it. I can't hear it. He's trying to yell me. I have no idea what the play is. I remember being tempted to call a timeout. And I also knew the rule. Nobody but a coach called timeout. I was a captain. I was like, maybe I can get away with it. I'm like, you know what? I don't think I should do that. So I put my hand, I had no idea what the play was. I'm like, the odds of me dropping aren't very good. So I'm not covering nobody. So either I'm stunting inside or I've got contain. So I basically just put my hand in the dirt, tried to kind of feel if there was a blitzer behind me, if he was coming. I tried to like look at the hand placement of Lakeven. Was he stunting one way or the other? I didn't feel any of that. I'm like, I think it's more of a base play or they're blitzing from the other side. Either way, there's like an 80% chance I just have contain. So I just flew off the ball. I hit the tackle in the mouth as hard as I could. I kept contain and they, you know, ran the ball the other way. So it really didn't matter. There wasn't a bootleg or a reverse or nothing. So I got a little bit lucky. I don't remember anything sticking out the next day on film. So I must have ran, you know, I kind of in my head was calculating the odds of what I'm supposed to do without having to call a timeout. And I must have done okay. But I'm telling you, like, I'm this far from Lakeven. He's yelling at me and I can't hear him. Mm. Not even close. I couldn't even come close to deciphering what it was. So if there's S, and obviously that's the loudest it ever was. There were other games where it was very loud too. Colorado my senior year, a lot of games where it was very, very loud. There's never a game where it wasn't incredibly loud, especially a kickoff. And then it would either get louder or maybe quieter, depending on what happened in the game. If somebody can tell me definitively that Memorial Stadium can't match what SEC schools bring game in and game out, whether they're winning or losing, whether it doesn't matter who their opponent is week in and week out, hey, more power to you. I find it hard to believe.
Yeah, we've got a few thoughts here from the text line as well. Jim says, I've been to several Auburn games the past 5 years. Didn't seem as loud as Husker games. 6732 says, CU Nebraska 1994. Loud in all capital letters. Gus Mohawk said he's been to Alabama, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Nebraska by far is louder. I went to the Michigan game in 21 and Colorado last year. Not even close. And we are not even close to being ranked in the top 25, as we've gone on to say. And then the other one, I ran across this earlier from the owner of Pick Six Previews. So he was in Memorial Stadium for Colorado's game in 2024.
Brett Ciencia.
Yeah. He said it was the loudest moment I've ever experienced in a college football stadium. I have to assume that he's been to a few, being from Pick Six Previews. Once Tommy Hill intercepted that ball against Colorado, he said he could sense a decade's worth of frustration being exercised from the sea of red. Which for that play particularly could be true. But again, I mean, that's probably a guy that's traveled around to a few college football stadiums.
He's a Heisman voter. He has, for what, 8 years consecutive now, had the most accurate preseason predictions that come to fruition throughout the following season. I've interviewed him multiple times. He was there that game. I forgot about that, actually. Travis Hunter himself, when asked what the most loud or difficult atmosphere he ever played in college was, he said Nebraska, and it wasn't even close. That's, you know, coming from a Big 12 type team there. But I think what this reminds me of is there is this SEC mental notion, bias. I'm just going to say bias, that definitely exists in a lot of folks on ESPN, which is why I make the joke, haha, ESPN, SEC Network. Also definitely in the South, but it has spread because it's all over TV and radio nationally. It is spread to certain parts of the country, and a lot of people don't buy into it. Some people do. But it's kind of like when people say this team should have been in the playoff or that team should have been in the playoff, and then we go play actual games and those SEC teams are losing, especially the Big Ten teams. It's like, I'm so sick and tired of the, well, this is what it is. Or if this were to happen, this is what would happen. No. How about we pay attention to what has actually happened? Because I gave a lot of facts and I gave my opinion at the end, but I gave facts that I don't know the SEC folks could say going to sell out no matter what, you know, and it doesn't matter who you're playing or what your record is, or like, how can you get louder than the guy next to me yelling at the top of his voice and I can't hear him? How do you get louder than that? Unless you're in the middle of like a fighter jet or something, you're in the engine or something. I don't know what that's like, but I don't know, I get kind of tired of the hypotheticals being accepted as fact versus what actually happens being accepted as fact. And I feel like that's connected too often to the SEC. Does that make sense, the point I'm trying to make?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we talked about branding earlier with the, with Nebraska saying it's not for everybody. The SEC has mastered that branding into the, but they really have. I mean, they just, you know, it just means more type of thing. And people buy into it, believe it. And to a degree, it's true. Like, I do appreciate the Southeast along with the Big Ten. There's a reason why the SEC and the Big Ten are the biggest teams with all the brands. It's because those are the monies that pour in the, you know, the community that pours in the money. And the care factor is there more than anything in those communities, but it seems to, along with on the field championship winning. And that was, I think that's what led to most of this is for 15 years, the SEC was winning titles. So how are you going to argue it very well? But I think because they have a kind of a unified front that kind of helps Big Ten. We don't necessarily, no, Michigan's louder. Ohio State's better. We're focused in on Nebraska, aren't we? So it just kind of goes, you know, you don't necessarily have that, but that also goes into kind of what's been thrown at Nebraska. And you know, because if you had 100-year-old rivalries come in, maybe those games you do kind of get amped up a little bit more. When Alabama and Tennessee play each other on the 3rd September of every year, they get together and they hate each other. And so there's natural, like, hate, you know, all this to it. Nebraska has one team they play year in and year out, and that's Iowa. And that game does feel like you're walking into a war if you've been into that game. But I don't know if there's enough of those games. So, you know, because of just like I said, conference realignment, and a lot of those SEC teams haven't been bothered by that. They've only added to. They haven't taken anybody away.
Did you make two great points? There is a little bit more, I don't want to say division amongst the Big Ten, but maybe just not as much being on the same page. And part of that is we have four schools on the opposite side of the country, like yeah. Literally East Coast and West Coast. But maybe the SEC is a little bit more unified in certain things. And so maybe that helps. You make a phenomenal point in the aspect of the SEC still has all their rivalries they've ever had. They've never lost one. Like Nebraska, you know, Colorado, Oklahoma, et cetera. That's just picking one school. Now, probably the one school with the two of the most extreme examples of rivalries lost, but that's a fair point. Oregon, I mean, they're not going to keep playing Oregon State forever, nor should they. I wouldn't if I was them. Washington State, at least USC still has UCLA, but I mean, how many times has UCLA played Maryland? You know, what does that game really mean? And actually, the SEC gained one of the best rivalries back because of A&M and Texas now playing each other.
Add Texas, Oklahoma, that's a huge one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. If someone wants to say the SEC atmosphere at their Saturdays, you can't beat it. That's a little bit more believable than saying Memorial Stadium just can't touch it or can't match it. Because I find that hard to believe. Personally, I don't think they can beat Memorial Stadium. But that's my Nebraska bias coming out. Again, you can watch your dog run for 2 weeks. In the state of Nebraska and watch him run away. If you missed our earlier segment, go back and check it out. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.